North Island Kaka.
So, the reason I'm playing the sound of the North Island Kaka is that some of you might have heard it recently, because there seems to be, well, I don't know if it's a resurgence or an emergence of a population of kaka here on the island. And to talk about that, I've got Lincoln Jackson from Waiheke Forest and Bird. How are you this morning?
Great, thank you.
So there do seem to be increasing reports, don't there, of kaka on the island?
Yep, there are, yep.
So they're not a bird that's been, I mean, you know, if we think back even a few years ago, people weren't seeing them or hearing them, were they?
It depends if you're familiar with their call. Like, I've seen them, I've been here on the island for 10 years. Before that, I didn't really know what a kaka sounded like. I may have heard them growing up in Auckland, but I was unfamiliar with their sound. Because they fly high, they sort of migrate, they can fly from... between Great Barrier Island and the Waitakere Ranges, they're quite they can fly quite far distances like that. But as I've been working for Forest and Bird for the last 8 years, and so I've started to take quite a keen interest in our native flora and fauna, and over probably from 8 years ago to 6 years ago, I'd see them maybe, or hear them usually, you know, 9 times out of 10, or for me 10 times out of 10, I'll hear them first. You hear them and then look and see them, because they're flying and screeching and whistling and that sort of thing. And I'd hear them maybe 2 or 3 times a year, but over the last sort of year, it's been like, almost sometimes it's almost a daily occurrence. They're either lone birds or in pairs or in groups of 4 or 5. Admittedly, I haven't seen one for about a week or heard one, but I work in the Onatangi Forest and Bird Reserve mostly, and there seems to be resident kaka there. Or kaka that love to hang out there all the time. They're attracted to a lot of big trees. They attracted to the pine trees in the pine family. So we've got a big kauri grove there, which they go to, and they eat out of the pine cones there, the kauri cones there. But also exotic pines they'll go to and eat from the cones, and also big macrocarpas too. And once they're in those trees and they're sort of feeding and foraging, they go very quiet. So, that's why I normally aware of them when they're flying and calling.
Yeah. And there is a, I mean, I suppose we should describe what people are looking for. I mean, I suppose once you see a kaka, you know, don't you? Because it doesn't look like anything else. But as a bird that has been around, I mean, what are people looking for? What is it that these things look like?
Yeah, well, it's, I mean, again, like when I've been seeing them, it's usually from quite a distance, because they're quite high flyers. And it's, unless you've got binoculars or something, it's quite hard to pick up any specific details. One good way of identifying birds, I find, is just the way they fly. You know, birds usually seem to have a telltale pattern of the way they fly. Like a kereru is quite noticeable. It's kind of, well, it's hard to describe a way it flies, but a kaka's a more slower. It's got a more. It's about the same size as a kereru, I guess, and it has a more slower kind of wing beat than what a kereru does. I mean, if you do get a closer look at them, they've got a hooked beak, like a nutcracker kind of beak that they use for digging grubs out of logs and stripping bark off trees.
And I suppose because they're from, you know, obviously being parrots that, and related to kias and
kakapo.
So they kind of, in some ways, I mean, to me, look a little bit like a leaner, smaller kia, but with a red hue rather than green.
Yes.
You certainly get that red, don't you, under the wing if you see them in flight.
Yeah.
If anyone's been to the barrier, I mean, there's a lot of them over there.
Loads of them there.
Yeah.
And that's because there's barrier is free of stoats. And stoats, they're an easy sort of target for stoats because they're cavity nesters. They'll nest inside tree holes and things, and then they're trapped. Once a stoat finds that hole, then say the mother on nesting won't be able to get out or won't be able to escape. So, whereas on Waiheke we do have stoats, and that is a, you know, big contributing factor. But we're there's murmurings of eradicating Waiheke of stoats, which would be fantastic. It would mean we could have other birds such as kiwi and weka and other native birds, which stand a lot greater chance of their young surviving.
Because there was the bellbird release a couple of years ago, and I mean there seems to be none of those left anymore. Is that the fear that what happened to bellbird, that it was stoats and rats, that, or have they just flown away?
Yeah, well, I think probably, I mean, a bellbird is such a smaller bird that it's more susceptible to rats, whereas a larger bird like a kaka or a weka or a kiwi, I think can fight something like a rat but better. I think with the stoats are a great thing to for them to they'll survive a lot easier if there weren't stoats. The rats are still a major, I mean, they're the number one problem in terms of fauna conservation. But certain birds, such as weka and kaka, have better defences against rats than the smaller birds, which are, yeah.
So, I mean, Forest and Birds long been advocating that people, you know, put out bait stations and so on for rats, just, you know, generally, you know, whether it's for tui or any other native birds. Are there particular measures, I mean, that we could put in place that would encourage the population of the island by kaka?
You can get Dock 200. I think that's what they're called. They're actually stoat traps that Darren Drumgall, the biosecurity officer, they have them to lend to people if they're actually really keen on catching stoats. That's like a sort of a man-made tunnel sort of thing that has a bait, like a lure, might have some meat, or it might even have an egg that a stoat will be attracted to and will go in. That would be one thing people could do. But of course, rat baiting or rat trapping or all that's always very good too.
Are there groups or are there ways that people can get together? I mean, people obviously can do their own sections, but say, for example, where I live, I mean, there's a few trees there, but over the road, there's a huge big stand of tarari trees that goes down to the beach, mm. you know, and just partly privately owned and partly kind of on public land and, mm. you know. So, but areas like that, is there any way for people to get together, or is there anything organised for people to get together and say, take responsibility for particular parts of the island where, you know, we might, you know, which would be supportive environments for bird life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think council is very supportive of groups that want to, especially local groups, because that's the one of the most effective ways, really, is people in their local area taking kaitiaki of their local areas. And yeah, there's, you've got strength and you've got influence in numbers, really, in terms of being taken seriously as conservationists or caretakers of certain areas, because you know, they council and other organisations that spend a lot of money on conservation, it will help them if there's people that are, you know, that are happy to do things, to take a bit of responsibility voluntarily and help. You know, they'll provide, the council will provide you with information, the know-how, and maybe some stuff that you might need. You can get, you know, and groups like that can get, well, that's what I mean about influence, that too, groups can get funding for projects on little areas that they, you know, especially if it does, as you say, if it's an area of a grove of mature tarairi and other trees that the kaka and birds will find good food trees. You know, those areas are quite able to get funding and get work done. And by the sounds of it, the grove that you're telling me about, could be nesting. If there's old trees with cavities in them, they could be even trees that the kaka are trying to nest in, because as you say, you've heard them stopping there.
I've heard them, a few mornings in a row. And for people who are interested in finding out, you know, where the kaka might be around the island, if you're on Facebook, there's a page called Kaka Watch NZ, and people go on there and you know, put notes about where they've seen them. And just looking back here just over the last couple of days, 11th of November, Waiheke Island, several kaka sightings of up to 9 birds together around Palm Beach. Also on the 11th of November, kaka are very active now, seem to have become a permanent presence much around the northern side, flocks of 10 regularly sighted in Onitangi. And what else have we got down here? Quite a few Waiheke sightings coming up over the last month or two. And people can add on to that and add on their ideas. So well worth doing, and gives us some kind of sense of whereabouts perhaps attention needs to be paid to these environments. What are the areas, Lincoln, that Forest and Bird is concentrating on? Obviously, you know, you have to kind of prioritise the areas that you work. Where is Forest and Bird focused?
We're mostly focused on our reserves. We've got a reserve in Matiatia, which is all the bush as you go from Oniroa down to Matiatia. It's all that bush on the left. We've got a reserve in Onatangi, which is where I mostly work, which is when you go along up Waiheke Road. It's that bush below the houses, all that bush on your right, and there's out up Trig Hill Road too, there's an entrance that's 120 acres or 130 acres, and we've got a reserve out at Timatuku too, opposite the Pioneer Cemetery. So that's where we've been doing predator management, mostly rat baiting. I haven't done any stoat trapping personally. Mainly in our reserves, yeah.
Good stuff. And if people want to get involved in that, what should they do?
Well, we do have a we are on, I don't actually have internet at home, so but I know we are on the websites. My phone number is 372-3102, which if people were interested I could put them in closer contact. We've got always stuff if people wanted to help with volunteering or just wanted to, because we network with other groups. There's lots of big landowners that are doing stuff too, and so it's bringing people together is one of the greatest ways of information sharing.
Excellent. So people can check out that website, forestandbird.org.nz, and you'll get some information and contact options on there. And do keep an eye out for those kaka, the kind of the, you know, the parrots with the, and you know, you'll hear that familiar cry. I'll play it again in a moment. And if you see them in flight, then, you know, they've got that, they're quite big, I suppose, compared to a lot of the other birds you'll see, and you'll get that kind of flash of red under the wings there. So, and yeah, maybe post something on to that Kaka Watch NZ Facebook page so people get a sense of what's going on. So thanks very much for popping in, Lincoln.
Yeah, and thank you.
Good luck with the work on the reserve. It's 4 minutes to 12, so we're just going to wrap up very shortly. I'm just going to pop back. We'll just play this for you again.
North Island Kaka.
That's the call of the North Island Kaka. They're very often described as the sound of a creaky door.